the challenge we're facing. We need only to get into the Word. And so here we're seeing a prophet walking by faith, not by sight. We're seeing a widow woman walking by faith, not by sight, both having great need, both concerning their lives being lost to death. One by a woman who said, I'm going to kill you, and another who recognized without food, I'm going to die. But both parties are hearing a voice of the Lord. Both parties are receiving a word from God. And they're walking by faith according to that word. Amen. Watch how this works out as this mother of faith carries out in her life God's orders. So in verse 10 of chapter 17, 1 Kings, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, right where she needed to be at the time Elijah was at the gate.
Yeah.
God works all things together for the good to them that love him.
Amen.
And are the called according to his purpose.
Amen.
We see how it all worked together. How God's sustaining Elijah through this widow woman. But God is using Elijah to deliver a word of promise to the widow woman. They're ministering to each other.
Praise God.
So look what Elijah says by faith, and I believe only a man of faith could speak like this. And men, I would not encourage you to do this part. It says he called to her and said, fetch me. I guess that worked back in their culture, but I don't think that'll work in our culture today. I don't think looking to a woman, not to mention your wife, and say, hey, fetch me a little water. And then if they were willing to get the water, say, hey, and bring me some cake with that. But the scripture says, he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee. He bringing in the word now. He bring, you know, this is, who's going to deny when God is speaking? Understand, I'm not saying fetch. It's just coming out of my mouth, but actually God is speaking.
Yeah.
Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, she had no problem with the request. She's received a command from the Lord. She's not just doing as he requested, but more importantly, she's being obedient to God's instruction. She's answering his call upon her life.
The number you have dialed has not been recognized.
And so she's serving.
Please try again.
And so she's going to get the water in verse 11, and Elijah calls out and says, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Now notice what she says in verse 12. Where
the number you have dialed has not been recognized.
Now, wait a minute, Elijah.
Please try again.
You know, you've been on this journey. You're thirsty. You're hungry, but you're a little short on water, a little short on bread. But I got my own problem. What you're asking for, I'm telling you, I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And notice she says, verse 12, as the Lord thy God liveth. She's acknowledging this is not only a man of God, but she's acknowledging the God he is serving.
Mm-hmm.
But she's saying, as he liveth, I have not a cake. You asked me for something I do not have. But she told the whole truth. She didn't stop there.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't mm-hmm. seek to make an impression that was not true. She didn't want him to think
the number you have dialed has not been recognized.
Provisions
please
to make
try
a
again.
Cake when she did. She was simply saying, I don't have one already made. So sometimes we'll find ourselves playing a word game, and we're intentionally make an impression that we know is not altogether true. Like when Abraham said his wife was his sister, a play on words, at that time of the request, she was not his sister, she was his wife. But he felt like, I'm not lying, because at one time she was my sister. But that's not what the question was. But sometimes we play the word game. But this widow woman, again, showing her faith in God, she's not looking for a way of escape, a way out. She's not trying to protect the little that she has, but she's put her all in the hands of the master, and she's trusting him, even if it means giving up that last morsel of bread. Now you know you have faith. You know you believe in God when you take your last morsel, when you take your last dime and give it in service to another. When you take it by faith and do exactly what God has said. I've had those say, and God has moved upon, I'm sure, many of his heart as my own to give a person some money. And you know when God's speaking to you. You know how God speaks to you as I, me. And so you made your way and you gave that person the money. And generally they act shocked, surprised. What is this? What is this for? And you don't take credit unto yourself. You acknowledge God. And you say, God laid upon my heart to give you this. Now, I don't know why. This is none of my business.
Never.
My business was to give it to you. Be obedient to God. And generally, that person would then tell their story. And at the end of that story, they're praying and they're trusting to God to make a way out of no way. And boom, here you walk up and meet that need. Now, you were blessed because you helped someone else. I don't know about you, but just helping others, helping somebody else, it's so gratifying. It brings so much joy and satisfaction. One, you're obeying God, and two, you're happy that God has blessed you in a way that he's given you the privilege, the honor to be a servant in his kingdom. And you know that what's happening is all God. It's not about you, because, you know, you would say, hey, I'm running a little low myself. I could use some help. No. Everything you have, even your last dime, is God's. And if he says give it away,
amen,
you're going to trust him to provide my need just as he would have you help another.
Amen.
And that's the widow woman here. Yes, humanly speaking, she says to Elijah, hey, all I have is enough for one cake. I have enough oil and meal just to make one cake, and I was just about to make it for my son and I and die. And then you make this request of me as if you did not hear what I just said, man of God. It come to mind, and I'm sure all of you are familiar with you, there are many leaders in many church organizations, settings, who would suggest to many who follow them, if you give me this amount, then God will in turn give you this request. And we see multitudes,
yes,
pouring this in under the understanding that they can buy,
right,
what they need,
mm-hmm,
from God.
Mm-hmm.
As if God is a store,
yeah,
that you can just walk in and say, give me one of them and two of these. And But no. This woman understood the faithfulness of God and the importance of obedience and exercising faith in that time of need. And so in verse 12, it says, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I might go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Now, I'm going to ask if you'll turn real quickly to Acts chapter 3. If you'll turn with me real quick. Hold that, Kings, but if you'll flip over to Acts chapter 3. Okay, Acts chapter 3. The woman says, all I have is enough for one cake for my son and I. We're going to eat it and die. Elijah was expecting far more.
Yeah.
Like we. We want not only to have our needs met today, but we want provisions for the next month or year. Already, we want it now so that we can go on to something else rather than put our faith in God from day to day.
Mm-hmm.
In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, beginning at verse 1, they're entering into the temple at the hour of prayer. And it says in verse 2, there was a certain man lame from his mother's womb that was carried. And they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Peter seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them.
Yeah.
Here it is. Miss this. Verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Amen. Yeah.
And he, Peter, took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. In verse 8, he leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. What I want to point out here is here's a lame man that's been lame from birth. Now, at the temple, there's a whole lot of doors that he could have been set at to ask alms. But they set him at the door, which is called Beautiful, because there he witnessed men and women entering into the tabernacle. He knew these are giving people. Here's what really jumped out at me. These people are going into church, receiving instruction from God himself, but I'm going to wait out here at the gate, at the door, to see if they take what they've learned in there and help me see it out here. He wants to see if it's going to bring about change on the outside. If we're just going to church and receiving God's word and shouting and giving our amens and giving our tithes, and yet when we leave this building, nobody sees what we received on the inside. Nobody hears anything about what we heard on the inside. If we don't come out and deliver what God has delivered to us inside the church, then those that are lame will remain lame. But Peter and John, they looked at this man. And think about it. How do we look at those individuals who's standing down at the end of a ramp and holding a sign saying, hopeless, homeless, feeling hopeless? They're asking for money.
Right. Yeah.
Because they believe that if I had some money, it can change my life.
Mm-hmm.
But now I've seen some of them for a many a year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But what I'm seeing is the money they received didn't change their life.
That's right.
So that thought, if I had some money, if you gave me some silver and gold, it would change my life.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been giving him silver and gold. All those who were going in the church and out were giving him silver and gold, but he was still lame.
Yeah.
So they weren't really helping him.
Amen.
Not really. Well, we're not really helping individuals when we walk up to them and say, be blessed, and keep on walking.
Mm-hmm.
We see here where he took him by the hand,
yes,
and lifted him up.
Yes.
He physically got involved in this man's need.
Yes.
He just didn't flip a coin over. He didn't just pull something out the wallet and say here and okay, go on, go ahead, let's go. No, he was concerned about the need of this lame man. And so he said, silver and gold, why not? I don't have the money. And besides that, they've been giving you money all these years from the time you were born, and you're still lame.
That's right.
But I'm going to give you something that's going to change your life.
Amen.
I'm going to personally help you get where you need to be.
Amen.
He didn't just speak the word. He helped lift him up from where he was at.
Yes.
That's where we have to be. We just can't speak a word to them.
Right.
You know, if they're not spiritual, they're not going to understand spiritual things. And you know, keeping it real, you know, in the church we got this spiritual jargon that we use, phrases that nobody on the outside has a clue what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
No clue. But when you get involved right where they are, the need they have, and lift them up, they look to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They introduce Christ to them.
Yeah.
They introduced them to a power he had never experienced before.
Yeah.
That power was the power of Jesus Christ to bring life where there was death.
Right.
To heal.
Thank you.
He experienced healing.
Mm-hmm.
All this time, all he had been asking for was money. Silver and gold. Never changed his life. But Peter said, I want you to look at me. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you as we need. When we look, sometimes you find those who look at homeless and they'll walk way out around them as if they're contagious. You know, they have nothing to say to them. They'll ask, do you have some change? And you'll have those who will say, man, get a job. And it may be that they need a job, but at that moment they need help.
Amen.
To get some food,
mm-hmm,
or maybe some clothing or maybe a haircut, to get an interview, to get a job.
Right.
It has
mm-hmm
to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But if we really show the love of God, we'll become a part of the solution to overcome the problem. Go back with me then to 1 Kings. Verse 13. Elijah said unto her, fear not. He's not overlooking her concern for the well-being of her son as well as herself. He's acknowledging it. He's acknowledging it. But he goes on and says, do as thou hast said. Go ahead. Do what you said you were going to do. Get your sticks. Make your cake. But make me thereof a little cake first.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. She just told him, I only have enough for one. But you're telling me, make one for you first, which in my understanding would leave me with nothing. But then you tell me in making yours first, there will be something to make for me and my son afterward.
My God.
faith, a mother's faith, a mother's faith. But he just doesn't stop there. You know, you have leaders who will make comments to collect that money, mm-hmm. and when they get the money, they stop right there.
Yeah.
But here, the difference here, Elijah, who's a man of God, who's suggesting you take care of me first, the man of God, and then afterwards, God's going to take care of you. It almost sounds just like what some of these prosperity teachers are teaching, but the difference here, Elijah is only speaking what God has given him to say.
That's right.
Verse 14, he says, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel." Now, it's not about Elijah, the man. It's not about his mere words. Now, it takes it off of him and puts it on God. Okay, I understand what you're thinking. I would think the same thing. And I really can't explain to you how this is going to work. But I can say this. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. So what he's doing, he's saying, look, I'm putting my faith in the same God that I'm telling you, you have to put your faith in. I'm telling you that God said you're to make me the cake first.
Amen.
Now, you're only making it not because I said something as your pastor, but you're only doing it in obedience to what God has said to you.
Amen.
He just said it through the mouth of a man, a prophet.
Yes.
But the prophet says, thus saith the Lord. So how do we know it's really God? Or, well, if you're just trying to get my money. Look what he says. It goes on to say, the barrel of meal, this is what God is saying. He's telling this widow, the barrel of meal shall not waste. It's not going to run out.
Right.
Neither shall the cruse of oil fail. It's not going to run out.
Mm-hmm.
Until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Now, it hadn't rained for a long time, so
right.
He's now promised the concern that you had. You thought you were going to fix this cake and die. Okay? I'm telling you, fix this cake, but first give it to my servant, Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
You do that. You obey me. I'm not paying you for obeying me, but as a part of what I'm commanding you, I'm not just telling you to help this prophet by feeding him first, but I'm telling you how it is you're going to receive sufficient meal and oil from now until it rains.
Amen.
Now, you choose whether or not you want to obey. Do you want to walk by faith or by sight? Do you want to stand and lean on your own understanding and say, look, this makes no sense. There's no way. I know I only have enough meal for one cake. I know that if I make that and give it to Elijah, the prophet, the man of God, who I'm supposed to serve, I know. But if I do that, I'm going to die even quicker because I already accepted the fact that I was going to die after I ate this last cake, but now I don't even get to eat that. I'm going to die even sooner. So the question is, am I going to trust God to keep my meal and my oil until the rain and give this prophet this one and only cake, or I'm going to lean to my own understanding and eat this cake myself and die? It's really a question of life or death. Which one do you choose? Most people will choose life over death any day. But it's surprising that when they understand the way to life, they choose, okay, I want life, but I don't want the way to life. But we look here, this is what thus saith the Lord. You choose. The woman in verse 15 says, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house, being her son, did eat many days.
Amen.
Verse 16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah.
Yeah.
We may struggle with God's way of doing things. Just being reasonable. We struggle because it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. How can this be? We must walk by faith.
Amen.
We must trust God.
Amen.
When the barrel is empty, we've got to trust God.
Amen.
We have to do what we've been preaching all along.
Praise God.
All along. Amen. You have Peter and John preaching the gospel, and you have those receiving it. But there comes that time when they had challenges in their own life that they had to face. And all they had was the same word they've been preaching to others.
Amen.
Preach to others. And yet God is saying, there's a reason to everything. Everything. There's a season and a time for every purpose. Every work under the heaven. God is saying, there's a purpose for that.
Amen.
You may not know it. I may not see it. We may not understand it. But the fact that thus saith the Lord
Amen.
Should be all we need, as with the widow woman. She had already made up in her mind, we, not just I, not just my son, we, my household, we are going to die. Only if God says so.
Amen.
Our life is not based upon this cake. It's based upon if we believe the word. It's based upon the word of God, not the cake. We see the woman was convinced it was the cake. But in actuality, her life, what was the scripture say? Man shall not live
by bread alone.
But she was convinced, this last piece of bread, after it, I'm going to die. But she has faith in God.
Amen.
You see, the devil can convince us. And it might even be reality. But that doesn't supersede, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
It only does if we choose to allow it to have place, that dominion over our lives.
Amen.
When we say, Lord, here am I, send me. When we present our bodies a living sacrifice, not dead, we're alive and well. But when we present ourselves, Lord, here am I, living sacrifice, we're saying, God, I'm yours. Do as you please.
Amen.
Use me to bring glory and honor to your kingdom. Use me to draw others like I was to your kingdom. Use me. But the way he uses us sometimes leaves us questioning, leaves us wondering, is this really the voice of God? Is it really God doing this? Or is this the trick of the devil? We know we all have been deceived at some time or another of something that we thought was true, and it was the biggest lie I ever told out of the pits of hell. But we believed it. We acted upon it, only to find out, ooh, we missed this one. We messed up. We should have went right when we went left. And now we're suffering consequences.
Yeah.
Forgiveness, but consequences.
Yeah.
Peace, but consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Hope, but consequences. But God is faithful.
Yeah, amen.
He will take what the devil meant for evil, and he will use it for his good.
Yeah.
That's the assurance we have when we're made to feel we've just been overcome. We've just been defeated. When we get down in the slumps and woe is me, and we're wondering what now, and oh man, I messed up. Oh man, I blew it big time. We have thus saith the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what you're saying. That's what the devil would have us believe. But when we go to thus saith the Lord, what does the Lord say? Even if we fall to the prey of the enemy, we mess up, we blow it. If we confess,
mm-hmm.
Now if we continue,
right.
You got a problem.
Yeah.
And you think you know it now, wait.
Mm-hmm.
But if you confess, God's always just and faithful to forgive. And then cleanse us from that very thing that overcame us. But we have to be willing to trust God with that thing. We must be willing to allow God to lift us up. Remember Peter when he was going down, all it takes is two words. Save me. That's all. You don't have to get deep. You don't have to know Genesis to Revelation. Just know two words. Save me. And the Lord took him by the hand. Pulled him up out of that storm and put him on the boat.
Amen.
That's all it takes.
Amen.
But if we choose by our actions to continue to try to work through, figure out, we'll find ourselves only getting deeper and deeper. Like Peter, until he said, Lord, save me, he was going down.
Amen.
He was going down. And everything around him looked worse and worse than before. It was the same storm and winds when he was on the boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when he got out, it seemed that it looked worse.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed that the problem's bigger now.
Right.
And so we look at our own lives and we understand, yes, the problem may look big, look impossible. We know our God. Nothing's impossible for him. Nothing. But he does allow us to go through some things. Not only to satisfy a need in the kingdom, a work in the kingdom, but to grow our faith. Strengthen us, because he knows where you are now, you're not staying. You're not staying. In this Christian way, we're walking by faith.
Amen.
Every step you take, you're in a different place.
Yeah.
You can be in a different situation. You can't stand still idle. You're going to move if you're following Christ. You're going to walk by faith. But God is saying, I understand that man's waxing worse and worse. I understand that for every step you take, you're going to face something you never faced before. But I'm going to prepare you now so that when it happens, it doesn't come as any surprise.
Amen.
But you still have to walk through it.
Yeah.
But you're walking through it by faith. God has given you something to take hold of to assure you you're going to make it to the other side.
Praise God.
Because the mere fact that you're in this, you couldn't be there if I did not allow it.
Mm-hmm.
Just read the book of Job, and you'll see God allows some things. Poor Job, God suggested him. Yeah, you consider my servant Job. God may be suggesting to the enemy, have you considered my servant here?
Mm-hmm.
Strong servant. Strong in the faith. Strong in the promises of God. Steadfast. Have you considered him? Have you considered her? It almost seems like he's setting us up for failure, but not at all. Just go talk to Joseph and all that he went through. If anyone could have felt like I've just been set up for failure, Joseph was given something from the beginning of his life that he took hold of But then everything started happening that suggested, oh, this is not going to happen. There's no way I can fulfill this prophecy that he's given me if I'm stuck in this well. I can't get out myself, so except someone else pull me out. And when he saw how God delivered him from that well, he rejoiced. But you know, and I know, it was only for a minute, and he's being sold as a slave. And by his own family. You know, it's one thing when somebody on the outside does, but when your own family, that's altogether different pain and hurt.
That's right.
But he was delivered from that situation and put in another.
Amen.
Joseph said, I can't even do right without getting in trouble. Lord, I'm trying to be obedient. I'm doing all the right things. Matter of fact, Lord, you've blessed everything I've touched. Now there's this woman here. Just don't pay to be handsome. The woman would not let him go. But God. God had put a joy in his heart, a satisfaction, a peace that no matter what that woman had to give or do, it couldn't touch what God had already given Joseph. And Joseph said, hey, baby, I'm out of here. There was no way he was going to sacrifice all that God had done up to that point in his life. There was no way he was going to give up the promise, the vision that God had given him for a few minutes of time. No way. We just can't throw in the towel.
Amen.
We just can't quit every time we find ourselves facing opposition, as tough as it might be. Just stop and think, where have I been already?
That's right.
How did God get me out of that situation? What did he do? How long did it take? Didn't matter. He did it. He was faithful. I know he's going to be faithful. Has God ever failed me? No, God has never failed me. God has always been right on time. If you consider the word, you'll see God faithful in every situation.
Praise God.
Here's a little illustration. So we hear the word of God. We're taking it in. We want our cup to run over. But as we see, it's going one end in one way and right out another.
Mm-hmm.
Right out another.
Yes.
There's some claiming to have faith in God. There are many who can quote scripture after scripture after scripture. Those who can even teach it. But are they applying the truth?
Amen.
When God has them facing opposition in their own lives, is God able to depend upon us when we're surrounded by the unbelievers and God wants to manifest his presence and his power in and through you? Are we willing? We know we're able by the power of the Holy Spirit, but do we take that step of faith? Are we like that the faith of the mother here, the widow woman, who gave up everything? Lord, if I lose everything, so be it. But I'm going to be obedient to your word. Are you willing to take that stand? Think about stand for something or fall for anything. Fall for anything. Peter found himself in a situation. He would say, oh, you wanted him, Peter. Oh, no. Peter got the cussing. But he couldn't even cuss right because the woman still said, oh, yeah, I can tell by the way you talk. You can't even cuss right, dude. You wanted him. That's where we can be if we lose our faith in God. We can take it in every Sunday, but it's coming right back out. If we're not taking hold of it and applying it to our own life situation, it will profit us nothing.
That's right.
What we want, we want this right here. We want the Lord to pour in, and we want the Lord to continue to pour in.
Yes.
Open the windows of heaven.
Amen.
And just let it pour over.
Amen.
Just run over. That's how we want life to be. We want God to open up the windows of heaven and everything you got in the storehouse with my name on it, pour it out. I'm ready to receive it. Let my cup run over. We can't handle it, but it's good to know it's there when we need it. And God is always able and willing to give us whatever we need.
Yes,
But we can't put our faith in that last cake. We can't put our faith in that last bit of oil. We must put our faith in the Word of God.
Amen.
We have to. That's what got Elijah to that place in his life where he needed to be. He did a great one to destroy, defeated all those false prophets and all. But then he found a time of weakness where he feared a woman taking his life, and he was on the run. But even though those times where we mess up, we don't quite do things as God will have, God is there waiting for you to look to him instead of exhausting yourself running from something that can do you no harm anyway, except God. God waits for you to say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. That's all. Save me. And what God will do, he will put you right back where you went astray. Isn't that what he did with Jonah?
Amen.
Jonah ran. And Jonah ran. And he ran. But God fixed it so that at the end of the day, he was still running, but he was running in the right direction. He was running to that place where God had ordained for him to be. This time his message was clear and, I believe, more powerful than ever because God had already did something in his life. There was something I wrote down. Obviously can't find it. But it addressed what God did in the life of Jonah to get him back on track. When Jonah said, just throw me overboard because it's all my fault.
Yes.
And they threw him over. And to Jonah's surprise, God had everything prepared to receive him.
Yes.
And not just to receive him, he understood at this point Jonah was broken.
Yes.
And he had hit rock bottom. And as they say, but he found that it was Christ that was the rock at the bottom.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
And it changed his way of thinking. He focused his whole conversation, if you read the story, was all about the Lord and his falling. But then how God changed things while he was down there with the rock, the solid rock,
Amen.
And was able to get a word in to the Lord, and the Lord began to minister him and show him the error of his way. He came out, not of his own doing, but the doing of God.
Amen.
The fish put him right where he needed to be to get right where he needed to be on time.
Amen.
He didn't lose no time. It's incredible. But God had everything worked out. He knew all that was going to happen. When the enemy will suggest to us, you're done. You've messed up and messed up, and you've asked God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. He is not going to continue to forgive you. That was your last shot. The enemy will put all kinds of thoughts in your mind, but take those thoughts and apply them to the Word, and you will find that every one of them are lies.
Amen.
Are lies. Amen. Are lies. God will never turn his back on a broken heart.
Amen.
One that is sincere, he'll never turn his back on. You need only say, save me.
Amen.
That's where we are. The widow woman was blessed, but we know that we can't put God in a box.
Amen.
He blesses us. We learn from those blessings. But we can't expect God to work the same way, do the same thing every time. He's going to be faithful every time. You can, as they say, take that to the bank.
Yes.
Amen.
But you can't put God in a box and say, well, God, I asked you to help me financially, and you know, here's how I need you to work it. This is what I need you to do. And you give them that list. And I know God has a sense of humor. because he knows that we don't know what we're asking.
Amen.
He tells us, oh, they don't know how to pray as they ought. So he's got to have a sense of humor, some of these prayers that go up. But because he's honoring our heart, he's honoring our faith. We don't have to use them big, long words. We don't even have to pronounce it. What is it? Pronounce them correctly. He knows before we even speak. He's already set everything in place. You don't have to impress or try to impress God, you know, with these long words and all. Just simple words. Save me. That's all it takes. And the way he chooses, we say amen to his will. Now, I believe it's okay. Jesus said, Lord, is there any other way? So I believe it's okay to say, Lord, is it possible that we can do this away? But we have to, like Jesus say, but Lord, not my will, thy will be done.
Amen.
As long as we put thy will be done, God's going to honor that prayer request. He just may not honor it the way you presented it. But he already knows you don't know how to pray as you ought anyway, because you don't know the mind of God. You have what he's given us on record here. And he said if you apply that, everything God desires is going to work out.
Amen.
And even if you're confused on what the scripture's saying, God knows that that's where your heart's at. That's where your desire is. You delight in the Lord. And he said, I will satisfy. I will satisfy. I will, if you commit it to me, I will bring it to pass.
Amen.
But we got to give it to him. But we can't come to the altar, Lord. I need you first, Lord, I need a job. Then I need a car. Oh, could you make that a Cadillac? I need a house. I like that area out. You can lay all those things before him. But at the end of the day, it's not my will,
amen,
thy will.
Amen.
Because you don't know, I don't know exactly what God is working here until it's all said and done. And then we say, to God be the glory.
Amen.
To God be the glory. What a privilege it is to be used in the kingdom of God. And to be able to say, to God be the glory.
Amen.
They'll try to lift you up and suggest you're all that. But when you can lift your hand and say, no, to God be the glory.
Amen.
To God be the glory. Peter and John delivered that young man. They tried to exalt them. Peter and John put them in their place. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Because they recognized it was only done by the power of God. And these who are looking to them, they knew the only way their life situation will change is if they turn to God and look to him by faith.
Amen.
God bless you. Love your mothers. Be encouraged. Have a blessed day.
Amen. 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 Mother's faith and trust God.
Amen. Amen.
In whatever it is, just trust God.
Yes.
Minister Scott, that when the barrel is empty, we have to trust God.
Yeah.
And I was looking as we were reading, I looked back at the few verses above where
mm-hmm.
we started, and Elijah was trusting God before, because as Brother Scott said, Elijah was on the run, and the Lord told him to go high.
Yeah.
By that brook Cherith.
Yeah.
And sent ravens to feed him.
Yeah.
But as Minister Scott said, but he didn't stay there because the Lord, the brook dried up.
Yeah, yeah.
What do we do when our brook dries up?
Yeah.
What do we do? Elijah had to trust God.
Yeah.
And the Lord told him to go because the Lord had prepared the widow woman. So every step of the way, God had made provision.
Yeah.
And if God would do that for Elijah, he would do that for us.
Yeah. Amen.
Trust God. And brother said, walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. We dare not go by what we can see. Some of us only half see anyway, even with our natural sight.
Yes.
But we have to depend upon God's all-seeing eye because
yeah.
he knows what's best. He sees the end from the beginning.
Yeah.
And he'll never turn his back on a broken heart.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
A broken heart and a contrite spirit are in the sight of God of great price.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
As Brother Sarah, just say, save me.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, save me. Amen. Thank God for his word this day.
Yes.
Thank God for all of his word. Amen.
Praise.
Shall we stand?
Amen.
Is there a number? Oh, all right. Well, can we? No, I didn't.
Praise God, amen.
No, 475 in the evening, like consecration.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to trust God, we have to consecrate to God.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not saved, we have to come to know God because if we're not saved, then we don't really know God. You may have heard about God, but you don't know God.
Amen.
You have to come to know the Lord in the salvation of your sins.
Amen.
And then trust God and walk by faith and not by sight. Consecration. Number 475, Evening Light. I'm sorry, worship the Lord. I'm sorry. Worship the Lord. I'm sorry. Worship the Lord, number 475.
Shall be whole.
Elijah had to be submitted and surrendered to the Lord, or he would never have heard the Lord call him and direct him what to do and when to do it. The widow woman had to be surrendered to the will of God in order to be obedient and to do that which she was commanded of God to do.
Yeah,
even though it
yeah.
came through the lips of Elijah, it was from God.
Yeah.
And so she didn't cop an attitude and say, who are you to tell me what to do? He said, fetch me. But she did not get an attitude because it was God who was speaking.
Yeah.
Now, I'll hear thy faintest call. And that second verse said, I care not where my Lord directs. The Lord directed Elijah to a lot of different places so that he could take care of him once he got there. The Lord may direct us to do or to say something so that he can take care of us once we get there, once we're doing what he has told us to do.
Yeah.
And it may be to help bring a soul to the Lord. It may be to take persecution without saying a mumbling word so that someone can see our godly example. Somebody else can see our righteousness and know that this way of holiness can be lived.
Yeah.
It may be that someone who is unsaved and think they have no hope, and we tell them about our hope in Jesus, may know that there's a way out of that sin that they are in. We have to be consecrated and not murmur or complain.
Yes, Lord, help us see.
And do what the Lord says to do.
Yes.
If we say his purpose, I'll fulfill. When we want to do his holy will, then we have to have a made up mind to do just that.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Third verse. The altar is here. Lord is here. Saints are here to pray along with someone. If you have a need, if you say, Lord, I want to be more faithful. Lord, I want to make sure that all my time and talents are given to you, Lord. Lord, I want you to be first in my affection. So I don't want to, Lord, be praying first for the car or the house or what neighborhood, as Brother said. The Lord knows the things that we have need of. But there are times, even though it's within his power to give us the top, it's within his power to give us the T-bone. He may know we don't need the T-bone. We'd be better off with ground beef. Because he doesn't want us to get lifted up.
Right.
He doesn't want us to think, well, me and none other. He doesn't want us to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. When we think of where in his word he says he'll not put more on us than we're able to bear, that's not always that bad things will come on us and we wouldn't be able to bear them. Sometimes we don't get things that the Lord has us others with because we wouldn't be able to bear it, and we'd lose our soul because we would fall in love with those things.
Yeah.
And so to help us to keep our soul, the Lord doesn't provide some of those things.
Amen.
But he'll provide enough, as Brother said. We've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread.
Yeah.
when he gives you that Subaru, say, thank you, Lord, for the Subaru. Lord, I didn't need the Benz. Because if I had the Benz, it might have worked against my soul. So help me, Lord, to be faithful. And help me, Lord, to be thankful. My Lord. We want to become, we want to learn to trust God.
Yes.
And there are times he puts us in situations where we can't do anything but trust him.
Right, right, right.
Praise God. When the barrel is empty, when the creek is dried up, we have to trust him.
Amen.
When the barrel is full, and the creek is overflowing, we have to trust him.
Yes.
No matter what.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what. Things may not always go the way we think they ought to go. We may in our mind have a preconceived notion of how things are all going to work out, but that may not be God's way. We have to trust him and just consecrate to him. Amen. Praise our God. The fourth verse. Shall be thy throne. Throne is where one reigns from.
Mm-hmm.
Is he reigning in your heart?
Praise.
Does he have full control?
Praise.
Does he set the agenda in your life? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Is there any who will say, just remember me in prayer? Praise God. Amen. Amen. We want to be all for him.
Amen.
We want to give all for him.
Yes.
We don't want to get sidetracked by anything in this life. But truly to trust him in all things. Amen. Praise God. God will never turn his back on a broken heart.
Amen.
Amen. Praise our God. As Minister Scott was preaching, he said, we could surrender to the Lord and repent. He said, and we receive forgiveness. But consequences. Peace in our soul. But consequences. Hope. But consequences. This way of salvation is not a flowery bed of ease. Amen. That's why we have to have on the whole armor. If it were not a spiritual warfare, we wouldn't need the armor. But the Lord has told us that we must have on the whole armor. Amen. Trust God. He will provide. Thank God for the word today. Thank God for all that he has given us. Going to look to the Lord and thank him for his word.
Thank you,
dear Lord, our Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you, dear God, for your word this morning, dear Father. Lord, we're filled up, dear God, because Lord, your spirit, dear God, has put your word in our hearts, dear Father,
Cause us, dear God, to meditate on your goodness and to meditate on your faithfulness, dear God. And Lord, what you require of us, dear Father. But Lord, the best that we give to you, dear God, cannot compare, dear God, with what you are giving, have given to us, are giving to us, and have promised, dear God, to give to us hereafter. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would help us, dear Father, to eat all of your word, dear Father.
Amen.
Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would help us to digest it, dear God, that it may be strength to us. Help us, Lord, to measure to all of your word. Help us, Lord, not to forget how you took care of Elijah. Even, Lord, how you take care of the sparrows, dear God. Help us, Lord, to rest in you, dear Father, knowing, Lord, that we can trust you. Lord, whether it's sickness that we're going through or sorrow, whether it's affliction, dear God, or persecution, Lord, it might be disappointment that the enemy tries to bring disillusionment, dear Father. But, Lord, we rebuke him because he has no part nor lot with us. Lord, we pray, dear God, help us, dear God, truly to lay hold on eternal life and not to let go, dear God, no matter what we may come upon in this life. We thank you, dear Father, again for your word, and thank you, dear God, for your manservant, and we pray, dear God, your continued blessings upon him and us, dear God. Lord, that we might be found a people, dear God, prepared for thee. Have your way. Help us, Lord, to measure to your word, dear God. Help us, Lord, not to get sidetracked, dear Father, but to follow on, dear God, on this path on which you have started us. Lord, you have begun a good thing in us, dear God, and you will not forsake us, dear God. Help us, Lord, not to cast away our confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Help us, Lord, encourage one another, dear God. Help us, dear Father, to fight on the good fight of faith. Help us, Lord, to help some soul that we come in contact with, dear God. Lord, that we may show them the way to Christ Jesus. And truly, Lord, we're going to give you glory and we're going to give you praise and honor. Lord, you saw each upraised hand and you know, Lord, what we each stand in need of. Help us, dear God, to hold truth. For truly, dear God, we don't want to have made a good start, but then to have a bad end. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, help us, Lord, to be steadfast. For we know, Lord, that those who hold fast unto the end shall be saved. Lord, continue to have your way in our life and in our heart. And help us, Lord, to show someone else the way to the cross. And truly, Lord, your name, which is worthy, shall receive praise, honor, and glory. And Lord, if there are any, dear God, who don't know you in the free pardon of their sin, who heard this message today, Lord, we pray that you would speak to their hearts, dear God. Lord, before it's too late, dear God, for we know, Lord, that the hour is late, dear God, in this Christian dispensation. So we pray, dear God, that you would speak to their hearts, Lord. Cause them to say, Lord, save me. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank God for the word today. Thank God for the word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I just appreciated the word today. I know all you did too, but I thank God. I thank God for it. Thank God for you, brother.
Amen.
Thanking you and thanking God. Glory to God this morning. Thank you, Lord.
And
see what he will do. He'll never disappoint your soul. When you have done your best, let Jesus do the rest. And keep your eyes upon the goal.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Just a few announcements here. Happy Mother's Day. This is Sunday, May 12th. Second Sunday in May. Scioto Point Nursing Home service will be canceled this Friday due to the funeral services for Sister Dolores Johnson. Please continue to hold the family up in prayer. And the service on Friday, the visitation will be on Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. And the funeral will begin at 5 p.m. here at the church. Summer Bible study. No bulletin says they can Bible school, but sister also called it Summer Bible Study, will be July 8th through the 12th, from 6 p.m. until 8:30 p.m. Our theme is Drawing Closer to God. Our teachers, Brother Levester Jackson and Brother Maurice Blake, please pray for this study and pray for our teachers. For the November turkey giveaway, for the month of May, the items to bring in would be two 28-ounce cans of green beans per week. Please check the expiration date for the cans to be sure that the expiration date is 2020 or beyond. And please also remember that the change canister is available to receive your donations. Prayer meeting and Bible study will be conducted on Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Our devotional leader, Sister Millicent McElroy, her alternate, Sister Melita McElroy. We thank God for blessing Brother Byron to drive the bus today. And we've been lifting him up in prayer. And we always pray during the week that God will give traveling mercies for our driver. So we thank God for blessing, and please pray for Sister Melita McElroy, who is scheduled to drive on this coming Lord's Day. I just want to ask a question. In reading this, did I say Brother Byron Johnson, or did I say Brother Byron McElroy? All right, thank you. Because I said he's holding the Worship the Lord hymnal that I said Evening Light, and so you know, sometimes get a little confused, but that's why we have to depend on one another. Amen. Amen. So again, let's Sister Melita up in prayer this week. Our thought for today: two sets of footprints. God walked with you. One set of footprints. God carried you. Amen. Amen. We thank God for his faithfulness and his presence with us at all times. And at this time, I believe we have something for mothers. So I'm going to put it into the hands of those who are bringing, to those who are bringing whatever it is that they're bringing.
I have the children come and meet Sister Jenkins right here, please.
While they're coming, I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 through 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She rises about while it is yet night and getteth meat to her household. and a portion to her handmaids. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she plants a vineyard. She grindeth her loins with strength. She girdeth, her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth out, not out, by night. She layeth her hands to the spittle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yet she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself covering of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh the fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou sellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. That's Proverbs 31:10-31. And we have a card here for the mothers. What would mom do? I can't tell you how many times that thought crosses my mind, mom. You have a way of doing things that just feel right. Like letting people know how much they mean to you and showing them how much you care. Mothers, that kind of love is more than what you do. It's what you are, and it's what we are so grateful for. Happy Mother's Day. We have some little things here, just a little token to say thank you. All the mothers are not here. Some of the men will get gifts to take home for their wives. Sister Vivian Holmes, if you will raise your hand so the children know who you are, and they'll come to you. Sister Vivian Holmes. She'll raise her hand. Sister Violet Llewellyn. The best of you. Sister Violet Llewellyn. Sister Jessie Wigfall. She's a grant. Sister Beverly Carroll. Sister Regina Cunningham. Oh, okay. Take it to cut them down. Sister Marietta Smith. Miss Venus Jenkins. One of the children can keep hers. For the peers should be in the back. For Sister Marguerite Thompson. Look it to the. He's in the back room. Sister Francine Scott. She's behind you on the piano bench. Grant, he's all the way in the back. Go into the press room, Grant. Sister Patricia Blake. Sister Renee Jenkins. Sister Lawrence St. Johnson. Is Brother Robert here today? Okay. Sister Theola Mann, if you'll give it to Brother Mann. Not my best of you. Mrs. Nancy Jackson. Okay, good. That's a Brother Jackson. Miss Judith Johnson. Good. That's a Brother Byron. That should be everybody. Did I miss anyone?
Sister Millicent McElroy.
Huh? Is he here today? He is? He's here today? Okay. We'll give that to Officer Myers. Officer Myers, is he still out there?
He's still there.
He's downstairs,
she said.
Okay. Brother Jackson, do you mind making sure he gets that? Or one, either one of you, to Officer Meyer? If you'll take it back to Brother Jackson, so or who has his? Lord have mercy. Do you have that for Brother for Officer Myers? Take it back, Brother Jackson. If you're one of you, if you raise your hand, take it back there to him. He'll take it outside to him. Thank you. Thank you. I believe so. Everybody should have something to take home. Their mothers that aren't here. Matthew should have yours for your mom. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank God. Thank the Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. 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 Yeah. All minds are clear. Shall we stand? Mr. Jenkins will ask if you would dismiss us with prayer, please.
Hello, County Bridges, Heavenly Father. Truly thank you once again for allowing us to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you for your hand of love and mercy extended unto us throughout this day. We thank you, dear Lord, for the message this morning.
Yes.
We thank you for the messenger, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for how he delivered what you have given unto him to give to us, dear Heavenly Father, to help us in our Christian walk. Now help us to take your words with us, dear Lord. The psalmist said, help us to hide it away in our hearts that we might not sin against thee. Help us always to look to thee, Lord God, the author and the finisher of our faith. Help us, Lord God, not to get weary in well-doing. As we see the time approaching, dear Lord, things are going in the direction in which they're going, but help us to be steadfast and almost unmovable, always abounding in the work of thee. Father, we ask that you continue to remember those who are in our hour of weakness. We ask, Lord, your blessings be upon families. We ask the Lord that you would be with Brother and Sister Scott as they journey back home. Thank you, dear Lord, for traveling mercies this day for them and others as they will be traveling back. We ask that you grant us traveling mercies on the highways here. Let us, Lord God, see red as red and green as green. Help us in the precious name of Jesus, dear Lord, to always look to thee, dear Heavenly Father, knowing that you never make a mistake in anything that you do. Help us, Lord God, as we go throughout this current week. We realize, dear Father, at the end of the week, we will have the service for Sister Johnson. We just ask that you would bless in that service.
Dear God.
Have thine own way in our life. Bless us and make us a blessing unto others. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you right now. Amen.
If I may, the Lord just brought it to me. At the beginning of service, and I said, I'm giving glory to God and honor to Minister Scott, and I neglected to say, and giving honor to Minister Jenkins, and I want to apologize for that. The Lord brought it to me, and so I need to say it. So giving honor to Minister Jenkins also. Because I said in greetings to the saints, but I should have said giving honors to Minister Jenkins as well, and so please forgive me.
But he also said, whoever's black actually, that is, parked out there, you're parked in the spot.
Amen.
That's another sermon right there.
Yeah.
next time.
Right.
You reminded me of that.
Yeah, what was you getting?
Right.
That's great.
What were you getting?
Yeah.